I'm John Batchelor with my colleague David Maxwell. David is the Vice President, Center for Asia Pacific Strategy, but right now he's a career whisperer for me because I need to understand the new direction of the new administration. Just elected President Lee after a political crisis to do with impeachment, the courts, martial law, very melodramatic. But then again, Korea has been in a crisis for decades and remains so, threatened by a nuclear power, North Korea. However, there is reason to believe that there's a new policy that may pry some of the weapons out of the hands of the Kim family. May. However, I note that the Russians and the Chinese and even the Iranians are looking to integrate Kim into their axis at the same time. But let's turn to what Minister Chung is proposing. What is, David, you write to this, that this is Sunshine Policy 2.0, but even more so. What is new here, or what are they trying again that they hope works, David?
Well, I think what we don't know the details. He's only been to his confirmation hearing. And so, you know, what we're learning is really from the questioning by the legislators in the General Assembly and his responses. So we don't know the details. However, we do know some things. One thing, he wants to propose a change to the Ministry of Unification, eliminate the word unification, which is, of course, in contravention to the South Korean constitution, which calls for the unification of Korea and, like North Korea, also claims sovereignty over the entire peninsula and all the Korean people. So that's one aspect of it. But, you know, they're really calling for really major efforts to engage, to negotiate. And as you mentioned about denuclearization, I think that there are those in Korea in the administration, and there are many in the United States pundits who would like to shift to arms control negotiations to limit and reduce North Korean nuclear weapons rather than denuclearize. Although both administrations, the Lee administration and the Trump administration, do say specifically that denuclearization of North Korea remains the objective. But there are those who would shift to arms control negotiations, which is problematic because doing so would play right into Kim Jong-un's hands in his political warfare strategy, which is designed to allow him to keep his nuclear weapons and place him on a status that would be equal to the former Soviet Union when the United States conducted strategic arms limitation talks and strategic arms reduction talks. This would be a victory for Kim Jong-un, and in no way would ensure the safety of South Korea and the United States from North Korea's nuclear weapons. The second thing that is really troubling in Minister Chung's testimony was that he thinks that there needs to be a flexible approach to military exercises to reduce tensions. And he made the statement that we can shift these exercises to only computer simulation training and postpone exercises. And this is really troubling because the exercises are designed to ensure readiness to deter an attack, and if deterrence fails, to successfully defend South Korea and defeat the North Korean People's Army. Training is a perishable skill. Training must be continually conducted. Think of the military as world-class athletes. Even during the off-season, they continue to train. And the military must train South Korean and U.S. military forces individually and together must train on a continuous basis. Otherwise, readiness will weaken. And of course, we must remember that Kim Jong-un's objectives for the military is two. One is to weaken readiness because he wants to attack weakness, not strength. And his overall objective is to drive U.S. forces off the peninsula to give him the correlation of forces, the strength to be able to defeat South Korea in his calculus. Now, if we are not allowed to train and readiness declines, it puts military commanders in a position where they have to make the hard recommendation to say, I cannot leave my forces in harm's way in an untrained status. And therefore, we cannot stay in South Korea. And so if South Korea is going to propose that we only conduct computer training and that we postpone and eliminate training, it really puts both the South Korean and U.S. militaries in a very difficult position and, of course, puts South Korea in a very vulnerable position. And so these proposals play into the hands of Kim Jong-un's political warfare strategy. And that must be recognized both in the United States and Seoul. And so we must talk about this, and we must talk about the importance of military exercises and training to ensure deterrence and the capability to defend South Korea.
We have about a minute, David. The Trump administration, number two, gets a vote. Have they indicated in any fashion response to Mr. Chung's testimony?
Not that I have heard, although we know that the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy wants to shift all focus to China, says that allies should defend themselves and that we should no longer be responsible for the defense of our allies. And we also know President Trump's statements from 2018 from the Singapore summit at the time when he unilaterally decided to cancel the August exercise that is upcoming next month. He made the statements that these exercises are provocative and are expensive. And so he, as an act of good faith, he canceled the exercise in 2018, which, of course, it provided and left no reciprocity from Kim Jong-un at the time. It did not reduce tensions. It did not end North Korea's continued development of nuclear program, nuclear weapons, and their missile program. And, you know, their hostile policy has continued to this day, despite actions to try to reduce tensions unilaterally on our side.
David Maxwell.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.